大家早安哦。
Good morning.
OK, 这个前几天好收到有人护持跟大家结缘这本书哈，《战茶善恶验报经》跟他的刑法哈。如果你们有很不好意思，就是中文的哈，所以就是你们如果有兴趣的话，可以在那个资科处这边哈领取。那我们今天刚好要讲到的重点呢，也跟这个刑法有关系哈。
So a couple of days ago, we received a donation of this copies of this particular sutra. It's only in Chinese, unfortunately, but if you're interested, feel free to talk to the desk in the back for a copy.
Okay. 那所以我们继续哈，上次是什么时候讲？四月的样子哈。那我们接下去连续两次呢哈，可能想办法把上卷哈的概略可以跟大家介绍一下哈。
We're going to continue from where we started, left off in, it was back in April, and with this time as well as next week, let's hope that we'll be able to wrap up the rest of the first chapter.
Okay. 那上次呢，我们讲到战茶善恶业报经哦，有主要的内容呢，上卷的主要内容是介绍如何利用战茶法哈来战茶我们过去的什么善恶业报。好，那它有分三种轮相嘛哈。第一种轮相是先用这个战茶轮呢来了解我们过去到底做了哪些好的跟不好的业。好，那第二个轮相是在帮助我们了解呢，那这些好的跟不好的业里面呢，哪一些重，哪一些轻。好，然后第三个轮相是告诉我们说，那这些轻重业呢，给我们带来的过去、现在、未来的业报会是什么。好，
So last time we have started talking about how this sutra, within the sutra, the method of divination helps us understand, all the karmic, causes and consequences that has been created in the past. So this particular method embodies three rounds of divination. The first round tells us about the positive and negative karmas that we have created in the past. And the second round will explain the degrees of severity the transgressions that we have committed. And the third round is about the consequences that had been created in the past, present, and future.
Yeah. 所以上次呢，我们介绍这个第一轮，这个怎么战茶，怎么执轮哈。然后呢，告诉我们这个第一轮相里面去看自己过去的在十三业跟十二业里面，然后哪些是轻跟重。然后我们介绍了第二轮相，就要怎么来看看它是它的强弱大小，身口意的强弱大小如何。那这边就是第二轮相呢，它是从你战茶的第一轮相，比如说第一轮相哈，你发现你有五个很重的黑色的十二页，但是你也有五个很红的哈十三页，那这时候你就必须要针对你那五个黑的哈十二页，然后来一个一个看看它到底是强弱大小这样。
So in the first round of divination, we throw the dice and it will tell us of the 10 wholesome deeds and 10 unwholesome deeds, which ones do we have created in the past. So once we found out, say, perhaps you have created 5 wholesome deeds and 5 unwholesome deeds, then in the second round, go one by one in sequence, you try to use this method to find out the severity, the degrees of the deeds that you have committed.
好，我们那个智克菩萨哈，先来的菩萨，你们到前面来做，这样迟到的哈，才不会中间跑进来很，前面也可以看 PowerPoint 比较清楚哈， 就是你们可以坐前面的，请到前面来，把位置后面的位置让给晚来的菩萨。
If you can, please try to move forward, so that the latecomers can fill the seats in the back, and the lecture won't be interrupted, frequently.
我们中间不会问问题，所以不要害怕，我们这个中国的菩萨，中国人都上课喜欢坐位置坐到后面，怕被老师点名。
We won't be quizzing you during the lecture, so don't be afraid, just move forward.
那在经典里面，这部经典里面呢，很清楚地告诉我们说，其实如果当你赞察第一轮跟第二轮的时候呢，你发现你的恶业很多，而且是很深厚。好，你从第一、第二轮知道很多相，然后每一相又都很深厚的时候呢，要自心理禅，然后不要急着学去学禅定跟智慧，因为你也进不了禅定，你的智慧也开发不了的。
So in this sutra, it also explained to us, after the first and second round of divination, if you found out that you've actually committed a lot of negative deeds in the past, and you've done a lot of it, it's numerous as well as very thick, then very dense, then you will have to first practice repentance sincerely, before you start any further practice of meditation. Because even if you practice meditation or try to cultivate wisdom, the passive karmic consequences will actually interfere with your practice.
那这个呢，经文，这段经文忏悔到底有多重要呢？他有讲到说，虽然我们一直讲说这个罪性或业性本空，但是果报不失，所以我们需要用忏悔的力量来熏习我们往昔所造的这些 恶业的种子，然后能够让这些 恶的种子呢辗转微弱，不要再重新增长了，这样子的时候才可以学习禅定智慧，然后就不会走偏走歪或是走邪了。
So why is it so important to practice repentance? In the sutra it talks about this. While the nature of karma is empty, karmic consequences remain. Thus, practitioners must continue to practice and be steeped in the wholesomeness of the repentance practice. This way, unwholesome deeds can be gradually weakened until they cease to grow altogether. Only then can a person embark on the practice of concentration wisdom and not be affected by deviant understandings and thoughts.
那大家如果读过那个佛陀的故事，大家还记得吗？佛陀是不是有头痛三天，然后他有被石头砸到，然后他去应供的时候人家忘记，然后得吃马麦，有没有？以佛陀福慧两足尊，这个三身口意三业清净的一个抉择，他还是要得到他往昔所做的一些事情的一个果报。比如说他头痛三天是什么？人家是赶尽杀绝鱼池里面的鱼呢，他呢还好没去杀，但是呢他拿木棍去敲鱼的头三下，好玩嘛，就叩叩叩敲三下，他就头痛三天，这就是他的果报。
So if you have ever read the story of the Buddha, then you probably remember, even Buddha, he had suffered from 3 days of headache, and his foot was hit by rocks, and also there was also an incident where he went to beg alms, and people actually forgot that he's coming and ended up giving him the food for horse. And what was the headache about? The headache was from in his past life, while people were fishing, and usual commoners, when they fish, they actually catch all the fish and kill the fish. He didn't do it because of his inherent virtue and merits, but instead he thought it was quite funny, so he used a wooden stick and beat the fish's head 3 times And that brings the result of having a headache for 3 days. So even for someone like Buddha, who is already complete in merit and virtue, he still has to face the karmic consequences that was committed in the past.
但是佛陀呢，就是释迦牟尼佛，他接受这个果报的时候，跟我们一般凡夫接受果报有什么不同？不是甘愿哈，或是埋怨，对，这是第一步哈。就说比如说他头痛三天的时候哈，他不会起情绪哈，好，然后回家骂弟子，好，那我们就是哈，今天身体不好，头痛，对不对？看到别人就讨厌，回家骂太太骂小孩哈。那还有呢，今天你去应供啊，诶，明明说好你要应供的，结果我还住马房还吃马麦，好，然后呢他的谁啊，表弟是吧，他的那个好堂兄弟要来害他，推石头下来砸到脚，他有没有起嗔恨心？他会觉得说你为什么要害我，还要害死我，假设是我们的话，不要说害死了，稍微骗我们一点钱，那我们是不是很气？要不要讨回公道？好，那这为什么会有这样不同的差别呢？是因为在我们的身口意三业不清净之后呢，那个就是他那个业力的种子，一遇到净的时候就又再熏一次，又再熏一次，好，然后可是佛陀的身口意三业清净，他没有嗔恨的种子可以去熏习，所以当这个事件一发生的时候，那就是 as is， 就是好，我今天吃马麦，好，我今天被石头砸到，好，我今天头痛三天，但是他每一个当下都跟清净的佛性相应，而不是跟往昔善恶种子的一些那个习气相应，所以它不会越滚越多，好，当下就没了，好，这才叫做业性本空。好，
So the difference between the Buddha and us ordinary people, what are the differences between us when you're confronted with these karmic consequences?Someone in the audience says the Buddha is willing to go through to repay whatever that he had created in the past. But it goes deeper than that. It's not just being willing and not harbor any hard feelings about it. The Buddha, so when he went to receive offering and people have forgotten and he ended up having to live in the stable and given food for the horse,He was okay with it, fine with it. And when he was hit by a rock, which was pushed by his cousin, he did not give rise to any anger at all. Whereas for us, had something like that happened to us, we will probably be very angry and feel it's unjust, and we have to pay back or something. So the difference between the Buddha and ordinary human beings, sentient beings, is that,For Buddha, there isn't any more karmic seeds in his consciousness to be further enhanced or fostered, cultured. So in the Buddha, because there's no seed at all, so even when the phenomenon arises, there's a condition, the situation arises, the Buddha was fine with it. It's fine that I'm eating horse food. It's fine that I get hit by the rock.Because at all time, he's already resonating with the pure Buddha nature. Whereas for us, ordinary human beings, we do still have a lot of karmic seeds in our mind. So when conditions arises, we actually enhances it. And it's repeatedly cultivated the seeds, and it continues to grow. And we are not resonating with pure Buddha nature.
所以对我们凡夫来讲，想要精进修行忏悔净身口意三业是非常重要的哈。不仅是说它可以呢帮助我们忏悔清净之后，它可以让我们在修行的路上不会因为外境 或是我们的业障现前的时候呢，就被拖下去，或是就是如果是 业很强的业，它就会整个把我们拖过去或是吸进去，你没有办法自拔。好，那这时候呢，你没有办法跟这个所谓的一时境界或是这个什么空性相应，无我相应的。那忏悔就是一个很重要，就是帮助我们在修行之中是能够走向正路。那另外一个呢，身口意三业清净之后，才能够呢真正的见到空性，不会染杂。
So while we're practice, when you want to become more vigorous with your own practice, it's especially critical to practice the pureness in body, speech, and mind. And the reasons is twofold. First, we already have a lot of negative karma, and if you practice pureness in conduct and speech and mind, then when situation arises, it's less likely that you'll be dragged into the situation and not able to free yourself from it. You won't become entangled in all the negativities, and you will still be able to continue your practice. And the second is that once your body, speech, and mind is pure, then it will be more likely for us to be able to see the true such nature, true suchness.
那就我们打个比方来讲哈，假设哈，我们的本性是水，好，可是呢，我们因为我们的业报、我们的因缘哈，那你变成咖啡啊，你变成冰激凌，好啊，你变成奶茶，好，因为我们不同的业报因果嘛哈，所以就是在我们这个水的本性之下呢，有很多的杂质。通常很多时候这个杂质是非常吸引人的，像糖啊、牛奶啊、草莓啊，蛮吸引人的，是因为我们的五欲的执着会很喜欢这些东西在我们的生命里面，房子啦、钱啦，就变成就是说，好，今天你变成是冰激凌，一杯咖啡或是一个奶茶，可是你想要，其实那水的本质是一直都在的，可是呢我们反复看不到它，我们就会以为冰淇淋就是我的本质，它就是冰冷，然后它就是甜，咖啡就是苦，那奶茶就是怎么样，好，那你会以为你这个生命的现象就是生命的本质。那如果我们不用方法，比如说是 distill 叫什么蒸馏，好，如果我们不用一个方法把那个水蒸馏出来的时候呢，我们没有办法看到水的本质。好，然后呢这个蒸馏的过程就是什么忏悔修行的过程，然后就哦，你终于看到水了，然后当我们看到水之后再回头看冰淇淋咖啡奶茶或是水沟里面的臭水的时候呢，你一眼就可以知道里面都是什么，都是水，只是有不同的杂质，那你不会对它起嗔恨心，但是你知道用什么方法去净化它。也就是说，当我们呢能够看到我们的本性的时候，就会像佛菩萨一样，看到一切众生都是佛。那唯有是什么？帮助他们净化杂质，然后每个人都是水。
So let's use water as an analogy. Our intrinsic nature is water, but because of all the past karmic deeds that we have done, that the water actually contains a lot of additional particles and stuff. So we end up having coffee, ice cream, or milk tea. And sometimes all these extra stuff may seem very attractive because of our own attachment to the five sensory desires. So in this sense, we're talking about the taste of coffee, sugar, milk. These things may appear to be attractive, just like in our everyday world, our houses, money, these are very attractive to us. And so we forget that the nature, our intrinsic nature is still water. The nature of water is always there. It's never gone. Yet, in this process, we don't understand, and we seem to perceive that coffee is our intrinsic nature, ice cream is our intrinsic nature. It's only through the process of repentance that, so what do we do when we have water that's not so clean? The best way it would be to boil it and to distill it. And so the practice of repentance, in a sense, is this distilling process. And once you have repented and distilled the water, then you will be able to see through that the nature, our intrinsic nature, is water. And in fact, all sentient beings' nature is just like this water. And from that understanding, you won't become angry about other people's additional stuff in their nature. Instead, you will recognize that everyone is the same, and you'll try your very best for everybody to help people return to their own nature.
好，所以为什么我们会有那些杂质呢？好，为什么有这些果报呢？好，就是杂质呢，是因为我们有善恶的业在里面。好，不管今天这个业是善的是恶的，它都是杂质。好，我们要有一个这样的正确概念。好，那这些业呢来自何方？好，来自于我们对善恶的无明，就是迷惑。好，就是对于所谓的善跟恶有不正确的认知的时候，那我们就会去造那个业，然后造那个业之后呢，就会得到那个果报。那我们先要 reverse 哈，要把它翻转过来，就是要转哈，转业的时候，就是我们的心去忏悔。虽然我们没有办法直接见到什么是真正的一时境界，可是我们忏悔，至少我们知道我们做的不是正确的。然后呢，去清净我们的身口意三业，那么我们就会善向常现，就是果报。这个果报就是，假设我们忏悔清净我们的业力，那它的果报就是你会善向常见。
So with all these extra stuff that's in the nature, and that's due to all the positive and negative karmas that we have created in the past. And it's very important to have the understanding that whether it's something that's being perceived as wholesome, positive, or something that's negative, these are all the extra stuff. They are not part of the true self-nature. And the reason why we have all these extra unnecessary stuff in the nature is because of our own confusion and our own attachment of the what is perceived as positive and negative. And based on this misunderstanding and confusion, then we created more karma, and we then eventually have to receive the consequences of what we have created. So what we actually have to do now is to reverse this pattern. It may not be so easy for us to see the true suchness right away, but at least we can practice repenting. And through repentance, we'll distill. We go through this distilling process, and one result that will come about from a very sincere repentance is that there will be a lot of good manifestations to show that your repentance has been effective.
那今天的重点就是要讲怎么忏悔哈，也就是第二轮相哈，不是这样一直说哦，这个很重，这个很轻就没事了。这上卷的重点是在第二轮，那也就是我们反复要去改变的啊，这个中间的这个哈，是就是要改变我们的这个身口意这个三业的净业的这个过程，就是在第二轮的时候呢，它必须是反复的去忏悔的哈，那你要反复的去执轮。那一般来讲，如果你开始清净之后到了某种程度呢，它的善相就是你有时候你会闻到香味，有时候你会看见光明，有时候你会梦见佛菩萨。
So today's lecture, we are going to focus on the actual practice of repentance. How do we go about doing this repentance? And this is more related to the second round of divination. And that is the key. The second round of divination is the key of the first chapter. It's not that you go through the first round of divination and then you find out which bad karmas you have committed and you say, okay, fine with it. That's not how you should do it. Instead, you go through the second round and find out how severely you have committed these transgressions and then start repenting. And you do this over and over again. And eventually, you will receive some manifestations, and which may include that you're going to see a lot of light, and the room is going to be filled with fragrance, or you're going to feel that your whole body is very pleasant and comfortable, or you may even dream and see Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. These are all good manifestations as a result of your repentance.
以禅宗的立场来讲，当我们修行的时候是不可以执着或是祈求瑞相现前，因为它本来就是在我们呢身口意三业进化的过程中，它自然而然的，就像有一些神通力，是当我们在这个清净的过程之中，它是自然而然产生的。如果我们在修行忏悔的过程中有这样的一个期待，它其实是另外一种杂质，所以就是说它会当你在清净的过程中它出现了，你就会像佛陀一样 OK 它出现了，它会让你信心大增，但是它不会变成你的执着。如果它变成你的执着，你又要去忏悔，所以你可能会你这样的执着如果越深的话，你可能会着魔见鬼了。
Adding on our understanding of Chan, actually regarding these good manifestations, we're not supposed to seek it, and we shouldn't be attached to it. And the reason why is these good manifestation is the very natural result of our repentance. It will arise naturally without seeking or without grabbing and attaching to it. It's there already, so you don't have to seek it. So the attitude we should have is just like the Buddha. If good manifestation arises, then you just say, okay, and that's good. It helps me increase my confidence, my faith, and will enhance my practice. But you're not attached to this. Had you become attached to these good manifestation and you're seeking it consciously, then it becomes another form of deviant thoughts and becomes another form of the toxicities in your nature.
所以在忏悔的过程中，经典讲至心忏悔，至心非常重要。那经典也讲了，仔细告诉我们什么是至心，它有不同的层次的。
So when we are repenting, it's very, very important to bring forth the sincere mind. What is the sincere mind? The sutra actually goes in depth to talk about sincerity.
那我们自心的程度也决定我们忏悔的程度还有清净的程度。
And the level of sincerity will also determine how deep we can go with our repentance.
那第一个就是初学者，像我们初学的人呢，我们的自心就是求愿，我们愿，希望佛菩萨地藏王菩萨加持我们，我知道我做错很多事情，我也要忏悔，我知道我做错很多事情，我想忏悔，我不想再伤害任何人了，这样的一个自心求愿是第一个根本，第一个初步。
So for us beginners, the first level is on the level of making vows and wishes. You beseech the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, saying that I know that I have committed all these past negative deeds, and now I repent for everything that I've committed in the past, and I want to repent for it, and I don't want to make the same mistake again. So you bring forth this very strong vows, asking the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to help you in this process.
那第二就是当你可以这样子修行了一段时间之后呢， 到进入第二个，就是他所谓的色意专精到勇猛相应自心。那色意专精其实就跟禅修很相应，就是把你的杂念妄想全部摄住，而且你能够专心的忏悔。我们忏悔的时候拜，每次拜佛会不会边拜佛边打妄想？会不会？往昔所造诸恶业，今天咖喱饭不错，皆有无始贪嗔痴，今天小孩子又顽皮，重生于已知口生，然后就一个杂念跟一个 你是在忏悔没有错了，但是根本没有色意专精，就是杂乱无章这样子。 你当你怨心很深切的时候呢，你就可以色意专精，就是你可以把你的身口意全部摄住在这个方法上，然后 专心一致的修行。
The second level of practice has to do with, it's similar to Chan practice, that you gather the mind to focus completely on the method of repentance. I don't know, when you're practicing, are you always fully focused? Have you ever encountered the situations where you make a prostration, of all the past deeds that were committed, and then in your mind it rises the thought that, oh, today's curry tasted pretty good. Now I'm going to repent completely, and then you said, oh, in your mind, that my kids was late this morning. So your mind is always scattered and not focused. So even though you're going through the motion of repentance and you are practicing it to a certain level, but the mind is scattered and unfocused. So this second level has to do with gathering your mind to focus completely on this particular practice of repentance.
所以呢，你一直要到第二自心才能够获得善相哦。刚刚讲的善相就是见光啦、见佛啦、闻到香味那所以第二个自心它有上中下三种差别所以第一下等的叫做一心，有没有很难啊？我们禅修的时候要一心已经是很不简单了，一心才叫下等哦。下等的这个你已经所谓细想不乱，心住寥寥就是你的心会细住在这个忏悔的仪轨或是你的方法上，而且心不会杂乱之后呢，而且你的心住在这个方法上，而且是清清楚楚明明白白的不像我们念佛，有时候念佛念佛念佛念佛念佛，你会进入无记的状态，你的心不清楚昏沉或是什么，那也不是这个样子的。他的一心是细想不乱，心住寥寥，有点像墨照了或是话头了。
So it's only until you reach the second level that you will then start seeing the manifestations that we mentioned earlier, that the good manifestations. And within this second level, there are still three different categories, three levels. The lowest one or the most superficial one is the level of one-mindedness, which means that your mind is not scattered. It's completely focused on the practice of repentance. At the same time, your mind is very clear about everything. It's crystal clear. So sometimes when we are reciting the Buddha's names, you may be reciting with your mouth, but your mind becomes dull and you falls into this category where you are not very clear about what's happening. That's not the kind of state we're talking about. You have to be focused and clear. It's very similar to when we're practicing silent illumination or when you are investigating Hua Tou.
那中等的呢，是勇猛心。那他是写你专求不懈，不顾生命，也就是说你当你忏悔到某个程度的时候，你就是非常的积极精进，然后你不会想说你当你业障现前或是残病现前的时候，你不会因为顾虑到你的色身然后你就停止了，常常你的魔障业障来就是要让你终止，可是你这时候因为你已经细想在这个方法上，而且是专求 不懈怠的时候呢，你不会 worry 你自己的生命哈。就像有时候一天到晚大家都说师父啊，我们的师父圣严师父有没有身体不是很很弱嘛，大家都会说师父啊你休息啊怎样啊哈，吃这个那个啊保养啊哈，师父有去吗？师父真的是为法忘躯哈，不顾生命，那他有这个本事是为了是因为什么？因为他心系于法，不是心系于烦恼，这有什么差别呢？
So the second level, the middle level is to bring forth a very, very strong resolve in practice. You have to be actually very ferocious about it. That you continue focus your mind to practice and not worry, not have any concerns about your physical body or your own life. So what does it mean? That when you're practicing, when you're repenting, if there's any sort of karmic obstructions manifest itself, or maybe you start to feel sick or feel not well due to your past karmic obstructions, you still forge ahead, push ahead without any concerns for your physical body. You do not interrupt your practice of repentance. So think about our Shifu. People often, you know, Shifu, physical body isn't very strong and so oftentimes people will say to him that you need to rest more, you need to take care of yourself, you need to eat this and that to become healthier. But Shifu just pushes ahead and he never stopped what he's doing. And what he was doing is that he, for the sake of Dharma, he forgets about his own physical body and he has no concern for his own well-being or his own lifespan. And that he's able to do that because his mind is constantly focused on Dharma and it never wavered and it's not attached to any vexations.
所以哈，我们看到祖师大德的传的时候，当这些祖师大德哈，他们在要开悟的过程哈，都会经过有一些障碍哈，都是身心出现很大的状况的时候呢，他们通常是不顾生命的，然后起大惭愧心，然后他们终于见到了一点消息哈。那所以不管呢，大修行人他是在禅定的修持上，还是在日常生活的一种菩萨道的实践上，如果你发现他不顾生命的时候哈，请不要变成他的业障哈，就拖着他哈，吃东西呀哈，干什么，他们已经不需要了，他们是以法为食。好，他们真的需要的是一个什么勇猛精进心，他们要脱三界苦海，要超脱六道轮回的时候，这是必经之路。他们设身对他们来讲已经不是一个重点了。那请问你说哟，我们家的小孩想女朋友的时候呢，也是细想不乱，心住寥寥，专求不懈，而且哈，茶不思饭不想，也很精进，不顾生命呢，这有什么差别吗？我告诉你，差别在于哈，你一个是你不顾生命之后，你是清净解脱，你的所有的身口意超越哈，那个想女朋友的那个哈，心住烦恼，也是细想不乱哈，不顾生命的这个哈。当你离开那个境的时候，你是什么 exhausted 没有能量的。好，一个是跟法相应，一个是跟烦恼相应，看起来好像都不顾生命，但是它是不一样的。
So when we read stories and biographies about these great masters and patriarchs in the past, oftentimes when they are in this state of utter concentration, they oftentimes encounter great obstacles as well, that either their physical body or the mind encounters difficulties and obstacles. And so in these situations, what they do is they give rise to this profound mind of repentance. So for whenever you encounter practitioners like this, whether they're focusing on meditative practice, concentration, or whether they're practicing the path of bodhisattvas, what's going through their mind and what's happening is, even if you see them encounter some sort of obstacles, do not become a distraction for them. It's not necessary for you to drag them aside to give them food or whatnot. At this point of their practice, their food, their source of nutrients is actually Dharma. And what they need the most is to generate this great mind of being ferocious and vigilant in their practice. They're going through this process of forging through all these obstacles in order to obtain the ultimate liberation. So for them, at that stage, their physical body, the well-being, is no longer a focus at all. So some of you may say that, well, you know, my son at home, when he is thinking about his girlfriend, he seems to be in that state as well. He's utterly focused without any concern about his own well-being. So what's the difference between the two kind of situations? Well, for great patriarchs and masters, the end result of committing this kind of concentration and practice is that they will become liberated and be completely pure in body and mind. Whereas for the boy who is intoxicated about a girl and thinking about this girl nonstop, when that person is outside of that situation, no longer be so focused, the end result is not pureness and liberation. The end result will actually be exhaustion of the body and mind.
所以哈，在圆觉经里面有讲哈，他说当你这今生哈可以遇到一个善知识，这个善知识哈是这个求法不顾生命的这个 level 的时候呢。你应该要护持此人，护持此人不顾生命，因为在你生生世世中要遇到这种人是很稀有难得的。
So in the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment, it says that it's actually extremely rare for us to encounter practitioners like that who is in a state of completely forgetting practicing and completely forgetting about their own physical well-being. So in this situation, what you have to do is you should support their practice because it's very, very rare to encounter a practitioner like that.
那有人就讲说，那没戏了哈，有的人还没见过圣严师父的嘞哈，那师父有往生了，我们要怎么护持？请问我们护持的是护持这个人吗？是护持什么？是护持法跟他的愿嘛？同样的，我们护持所谓的菩萨是护持他的什么？他的愿，好，变成他的化身，好，然后来继续好他对于众生的一个悲愿，好，所以要不顾生命，好，护持佛法。
So some people may say that, well, in that case, Shifu has passed away already, so I guess there isn't anything else I can do. In this case, whenever we're supporting a great practitioner, what is it that we're supporting? Are we supporting this person's physical body? We're actually supporting his teaching, his or her teaching, as well as the vows that was made. So the way to support it then is to become one of his delegates and start promoting Dharma in the same manner that this great master has been doing it and not be overly concerned about one's physical well-being.
那如果能够继续这样做下去，你就可以到达上等的智心，叫做身心。那身心是什么样一个状况呢？就是说你时时刻刻与法相应，就进不退，因为法跟你常在，你见到的都是法。这个时候，据这个孟禅老和尚讲， 假设我们可以拜忏哈，拜到这种地步，身心的时候呢，你会发现地藏就是你，你就是地藏。
So if we're able to continue this kind of practice of being focused with ferocious resolve and not concerned about the physical bodies, then eventually we'll reach a state, the third stage, which is the deepest stage of profound mind. And at this stage, at all times, you're resonating with the Dharma already, and everything that you see, any phenomenon that you see is in fact, Dharma and teachings itself. And so Master Meng Tsanhai once said, in his commentary that when you are in this kind of state, the earth store Bodhisattva is the self, and yourself is, simultaneously earth store Bodhisattva. It's one and the same.
这不是说哈，你哈不是说你就变菩萨了哈，你不是说哦，我忽然之间变十地菩萨哈，好高高在上哈，被人家膜拜哈，不是这个意思哈。因为所有的菩萨呢，是依他的愿力化身来救度人，对不对？我们常常讲佛有三身嘛，什么身？法身、报身、应化身。我们大概哈，凡夫你真的福德因缘具足，你可以看到佛菩萨的应化身。好，那报身要去哪里见？要去他们的净土。你去西方极乐世界，好，去东方琉璃世界，很有可能见到的是他佛菩萨的报身。那法身呢？法身去哪里见？法身无所不在，但是我们见不到，因为我们不够清净。法身是等我们呢清净法身的时候呢，我们就看到所有众生的法身，看到佛菩萨的法身。好，那在这边讲的地藏就是自己，自己就是地藏的意思是什么？你已经跟地藏王菩萨的愿力也好，跟他的功德力也好呢，是一体的。你这时候就是也是等于依地藏王菩萨的愿力呢，哈，你不再执着他的应化身了，好，是他的功德力，那这时候我们就变成地藏王菩萨的化身了，应该这样子讲，好，但是你不会觉得自己高高在上，你也不会觉得说哦有地藏王菩萨高高在上，你也不会觉得自己高高在上，因为地藏的精神是什么？平等。地是平等，平等的接受一切众生，平等的长养一切众生，你的心不会有高下相。有没有在这部经典一开始汝莫做什么高下相？有没有觉得地藏王菩萨比较低，佛比较高？这时候你不会了。好，
So becoming one and the same as earth store Bodhisattva, what Master Meng Tsanhai has said, it does not mean that you immediately feel like, whoa, I've become a bodhisattva already and I am so great. That's not it. What does it mean to become one and the same as earth store bodhisattva? We've talked about the Buddhas having three types of bodies. Do you know what they are? Do you remember? The Dharma body,the retribution body, and the transformation body. And for common, ordinary sentient beings, at best, we may be able to encounter the transformation bodies of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. As for the retribution body, you may see it once you are reborn into that particular Buddha's pure land.And what about the Dharma body? The Dharma body is actually everywhere we go is the Buddha's Dharma body. But except that the fact we cannot see it because we ourselves are not yet pure. So we cannot see the Bodhisattva's Dharma body. So over here, what it means to be one and the same as the earth store bodhisattva is that you are resonating with the vows of this bodhisattva. So you and his vows have become one. And you are no longer attached to the transformation body of Buddhas. In a sense, you don't make distinctions of phenomena, thinking that Buddhas are way up high and I am a little ant. Or when you feel this oneness, you're not going to feel that, well, because I'm one and the same as the Buddha, so I must be so great as well. Because that is not the essence of Earth Store Bodhisattva. His essence and his great vows is equanimity, seeing everything as being equal. He will equally respect and reach out to all sentient beings and equally try to nurture and foster people to become, to realize their own Buddha nature. So remember in the earlier part of the sutra, in the beginning, the Buddha has said, do not differentiate between what is higher and lower, what is superior, what's inferior. And that's the same, using this same concept. And that is the essence of the Earth Store Bodhisattva.
所以呢，忏悔哈，这个功课呢，其实它就是一辈子的功课，也是生生世世的功课。你只要检查哈，我们自己的心是还在求愿心，还是可以一心的，还是可以勇猛心的呢？还是真的到达身心的状态？你就知道你到了没有哈。所以这是要我们不断的努力的方向哈。然后呢，接下来我就要想说我们那个忏悔的内容是什么，接下来要讲哈。
So this practice of repentance is actually something that you can continue and foster for not just this lifetime, but it's life after life. And you can actually sort of use this stages of development as a benchmark.To help you realize where you are, whether you're still at the stage of making vows and asking for assistance or wanting to repent, or you have eventually reached the stage of one-mindedness or generating ferocious resolve or reaching the state of profound mind. By using this, you can sort of see where you are in terms of your practice.And now I'm going to turn to the actual content of repentance.
好，那假设你们有拿这本结缘书哈，就是《赞察三恶业报经》，还有《副赞察经行法》哈，行法就是我们要做的内容里面呢哈，它就是由祖师这边哈，把要忏悔的东西具体的哈，有列出十项哈。那为什么要有这么繁复的一个内容哈，最主要是要什么？一个要是帮助我们收摄身口意，另外一个呢，要请佛菩萨加持哈，不然哈，我们的障碍也会蛮多的哈。
So if you actually get hold of a copy of the sutra, in here they go into specific details of 10 steps that you have to go through to start to for this repentance practice.And why is it that we have to go through this many steps for repentance? One purpose of it is for us to become more focused, to gather, focus the mind. And the second level is indeed to beseech the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for their assistance in our practice, because as we enter the practice of repentance, we will encounter obstacles.
那一般的忏法哈，都有大致相同，像法华忏哈、大悲忏哈、地藏忏，很多的忏法其实都就是由天台的这边来的哈，就是差不多相同的一个 format 哈。那首先呢，它刚开始的时候呢，都会严禁道场洗浴清净、香花供养哈，然后这个环境呢，都非常的OK 了之后呢。这时候会祈请三宝跟赞礼三宝，哈，请三宝来加持，哈。
So a lot of these specific methods of repentance follow a similar format, and it's coming out of the school of Tian Tai. So like the lotus repentance as well as the great compassion repentance, etc. It all follows a very similar pattern. So you first start out by cleansing and decorating the site of practice, into cleansing your physical body and make offerings of flowers and incense. And then moving on to the step four, which is to invite the three jewels and praise the triple jewels. The purpose of that is to pray and beseech the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for assistance in your practice.
好，然后接着呢，就是你要举罪仰告哈，你要归命忏悔，知道说我好做错这些事情，我要忏悔。然后呢，在这本经文里面呢，特别告诉我们要观罪性空，然后永灭罪根哈。这个是我会等一下会搭配这个《赞察业报经》的经文来解释哈，这个刑法里面的这一项要怎么做哈。
And then moving on to step six is to you have to disclose specific transgressions that you have committed and repent sincerely for these transgressions. And the next one is it's specific to this particular sutra, where in this process of repenting, you have to contemplate simultaneously, contemplate the nature of karma, that it is empty. And then by doing this contemplation, we hope to permanently eradicate the root of all transgressions. And this part, this particular contemplation, I will discuss in more detail later on as we talk about the text.
然后接着呢，就要发愿哈，发什么愿呢？要劝请随喜回向哈。那它有什么样的一个功能呢？哈，也等一下会讲。然后能够发愿之后呢，最后呢就是刑法，就是本门的观行的法门哈。那在这边，这个《赞察经》的这个刑法就是作念或绕念地藏圣号。
And then afterwards, you generate vows and rejoice in all the wholesome deeds that oneself and others have committed, have done, and then finally transferring merits. And then step 10 is, backtrack. What are the functions of making vows and rejoicing as well as transferring merits? I will also talk about it in more details later. And the final step for this practice is to of chanting Earth Store Bodhisattva's names, whether you can do it in sitting or walking and circling the room.
那就记得哈，这会一直 circle 哈，一直拜，那就看你的自心程度了哈，是从刚开始发愿好的初心，那一直是不是到可以到一心呢？还是到勇猛心呢？还是到什么？身心哈，那就你就是一直拜下去了哈。
And let me remind you that this is a cycle that you have to repeat over and over again. And it, depending on your mindset, whether you're in the beginning stage of just making vows and asking for assistance, or eventually you reach one-mindedness, profound, ferocious mind, you just continue with this practice on and on.
那同样的道理哈，我们法华三昧听过吧？好，拜法华经、法华忏、法华三昧，拜一次就成功了吗？啊，一样的哈，一直拜哈，拜到你看你自己的心还是在散乱心呢，还是你已经有这个发愿心了呢，还是你可以一心了哈？一样的检测。假设你拜所有的忏仪呢，都可以 follow 这个，然后到能够至少勇猛心跟身心的地步哈。你如果是这个哈，拜法华就是法华三昧嘛哈，然后看拜什么就可以进入那个经文所讲的三昧哈。那在这边地藏就是怎么样？他进入什么最本就是不能讲地藏三昧，好像没人这样讲哈。但是就是说，你可以你在你做任何的方法的时候，你就可以进入好那个所谓的三昧。那我们下卷会讲三昧啊、哦、哈。地藏这个赞察上二业报经也有三昧哈、哦，要达到的哈、哦。
So this kind of pattern applies to this principle applies to all sorts of methods of repentance. So we talked about the samadhi of the Lotus Sutra, where again, in this method of repentance, you repeat doing it over and over again, and then you measure yourself, you know, you gauge yourself by seeing where you are, whether you're merely generating the vows, or you have eventually able to reach the state of one-mindedness and being bring forth your resolves and enter a profound mind. And once you're able to at least reach the mind of generating ferocious resolve and profound mind, then you will enter the samadhi of that particular method that you're practicing.
好 Oops, 刚刚忘了讲英文。好，没关系。然后这个，我这边就要前面有一些地方快快的，像刚刚前三项，严禁道场、洗浴、清净、香花供养，它这个就像我们一般在家里请重要的贵宾的时候，你会不会把家里整理干净？好，整理干净之后呢，啊，自己也要 洗澡洗干净，不能臭臭的嘛，哈，穿上你的礼服，对不对？然后会不会擦桌上擦一点花，好，啊，厕所摆一点什么芳香剂啊，就不要让客人进去觉得臭臭的嘛，哈，就好像是请贵宾都这样的，那你现在要请佛菩萨来，对不对？是不是就是你要拜忏的地方就好好的把它好弄一下，然后因为佛菩萨要来了嘛，哈。
So,
但是呢。随力所能哈，这边不要以为说哈，你摆钻石买名贵的花，你就会请比较多佛菩萨哈。最主要是在你的心是不是虔诚，你假设你没有办法很一个很大的道场哈，很贵的名花，哇，什么百年沉香，有没有关系？没有关系，你只要你的心意到了就可以了哈。最主要是你虔诚的心哦。
I'm going to go through the first few items rather quickly. So the first three, so is relating to making the place suitable for the practice. And just imagine when you are inviting some honorable guest over to your house, don't you go through the same process? First, you have to clean your place, and then you try to decorate it and maybe put some flowers on the table and put some, what is it? In the bathroom, you clean it so that it doesn't smell, and then you put on your best clothes to receive this honorable guest. So, even with human guests, you go through the same process. And now we are actually inviting Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, so you do the same thing to make the place suitable to invite Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to assist your practice. But over here, it's also very important to keep in mind that we do this according to our own means. So it doesn't mean that if you offer diamonds and the most expensive flowers you can find that you will be able to invite more Buddhas and more Bodhisattvas. It's not like that. You just do whatever that's according to your means and try to make the place as clean and as nice as possible for the practice.
那这时候你就开始总理祈请哈。祈请三宝，他的仪柜里面就开始一个一个请佛法身，请释迦牟尼佛，请什么什么，请菩萨来，然后你在一心祈请之后，你要礼赞他，觉得哇，你觉得佛就是赞美佛菩萨这样子。
And the fourth and fifth step is then you invite the triple jewels and Buddhas and Bodhisattvas over to assist your practice. And then once you have invited them over, then you sing praises to them.
那其实哈，佛菩萨哈，不用我们这样哈大费周章的请，也不用我们赞美他哈。如果他希望我们赞美他，他就是佛菩萨了哈。最主要这个过程是帮助我们什么，把那个恭敬心升起来。好，就是说，哎，我礼赞他，等于在礼赞众生，因为所有的一切众生都有什么同样的佛性哈。
So actually, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they do not need us to do all these steps to invite them in this elaborate manner and then to sing praises to them. If Buddhas and Bodhisattvas actually want you to sing praises to them, then they wouldn't be Buddhas and Bodhisattvas anymore. So the purpose of going through all these steps is in fact helping us to generate the mentality of respect, generating respect. and to understand that Buddhas and sentient beings are one and the same, so having respect for the Buddha as well as respect for all sentient beings.
那这重点哈，里面最重要的在这里哈。他说，我们要举罪仰告，归命忏悔哈。那什么叫做举罪仰告？就是你要把你所做的罪状哈列举出来，而且你要忏悔说，我哈不要再做了哈。以前哈，我们以前哈出家刚出家的时候哈。然后常常要写修行日志哈，啊，今天做错什么事情写出来哈，然后做不对的还要去跟当事人忏悔哈。但是呢，后来呢，我们的辅导法师就会跟我们说哈，你们呢，那个勇于忏悔，死不悔改，不是，就是说你勇于道歉呐哈，就说你们、哦、对不起，我做错了哈，但是下次呢。又一样的哈，有没有跟你们家里的先生太太很像？常常跟你道歉，但是他还是一如一故如我哈，一辈子这样子过去了哈，这不行。这边而且呢，你说对不起，你要告诉你要讲出来，你到底是哪里对不起？不然你只是因为对不起而对不起，你根本不晓得你自己哪里做错，哪里伤害他人，哪里让人家起烦恼，那你永远改不了了哈。
So here the sixth step is the focus, the most important step, where you actually have to disclose all specific transgressions that you've committed and then repent for it.Repenting actually means apologizing, and also you vow not to do it again. When I first left home, we had to write journals to document our practice. And in this journal, you have to write down the things that you have done wrong that day, and then try to apologize to the person that you have done bad things to. But then our mentor, Fa Shi, actually one day said to us that you are all very good at making apologies, but you are not so good at actually changing your behaviors. So doesn't this sound kind of familiar, that sometimes we go through the motion of simply apologizing without being very specific about what we are apologizing for, or nor do we truly understand the impact of the things that we have done. So this particular part is about being very specific and clear about the transgressions committed.
比如说哈，你们今天夫妻吵架对吧，好啊，不管怎么样讲，他说哦，先生道歉说对不起哈，我不应该说你做的菜很难吃，你花了那么多心思哈，哎，对不起，我不应该说，这样算忏悔了吗？举罪了没有？好，就说我不应该说这个你今天的菜很难吃，这样举罪了吗？这是第一步的举罪了哈。但是如果你能够再反思一下哈，你为什么会觉得这个菜很难吃？好啊，那这个菜真的难吃啊。好，比如说这个菜真的难吃，你也不能说谎说啊这个很好吃，那你又起语。也要举罪，就明明他菜忘记加盐，你还说好吃，那是奇语嘛哈？那你也要举罪的，那他一辈子就每次都没有加盐吧？然后那客人来的时候觉得这家女主人煮的菜怎么这么难吃哈？你让他就是这恶名满天下了哈？就说你要知道为什么说你要怎么样让他能够改善记忆，这同时你要反省你为什么要骂他说。这个菜怎么那么难吃？然后你去反省，说哦，原来你对吃的贪着哈，你对吃的贪着，然后你对于不顺己境的一个反应，因为同样的不是只有对你太太煮的饭，你可能在公司里面对于老板或是你的下属或是你的同侪做不满意的事情的时候，你都可能口出恶言。所以去反省一下你的在更广更深的 的举罪是说我不应该对不逆境，就是说不顺我境的东西起嗔恨心。然后如果你能够再更深的忏悔，忏到理的部分的时候呢，那你就会更能够抓到忏悔的核心。所以我们讲忏悔有四忏跟理忏，对吧？好，这个我们会在后面继续讲的更周全一点。
So let's use an example to illustrate what I'm trying to say here. So a husband scolded a wife that your cooking is lousy, this dish is horrible. And then they start having an argument. So, you know, the husband then can apologize to the wife saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Is that considered as being specific about your transgressions? That's only one level. Okay, that I should not have said that is the first level of repentance and apologizing. And then you actually have to go deeper and reflect. Why is it that I said that? That why is it that I need to scold my wife like that? And then the husband could explain, well, the dish really does taste bad. I'm not going to lie and say that it tastes good. Because had you lied, then you're committing false speech. That's also a transgression. Then you have to repent for that. And also, by lying about it, saying the dish actually tastes good, then you're not helping your wife either. Maybe your wife is always like putting too little salt in the dish and it tastes bad. But if you try to talk her out of it, tell her that it tastes good, then she starts to generate this kind of reputation outside that this person is really a bad cook. So you don't do that either. So you have to think, how do you improve the situation? Why is that? How do you help your wife improve her cooking? And why is that that I actually have to scold her about the dish? And then if you dig deeper, then you will see that first, there's one level that you are attached to sensory pleasure of food, of eating. So you're attached to taste. And then furthermore, going even deeper, the second level is that your response is automatic against something that goes against to your wish. So whenever things are going against to your own desires and your own wishes, in this case, it's your wife's cooking, but it could be a workplace toward your boss or your colleagues, it is perhaps very likely for you to respond by using harsh speech. So you do this level by level, going deeper and deeper, trying to analyze and understand where the transgression had taken place. So the deeper level of merely saying, oh, I shouldn't have said that, the deeper level of apologies and repentance would be when I should not have given rise to anger when things don't go according to my wish. And then later on, you can go even deeper, going beyond phenomena and going to the principles of nature. And by doing so, your repentance will become stronger and deeper.
然后不仅如此，你还要在忏悔的过程中，你希望呢，一切众生跟你一样能够不断的忏悔，而且能够灭除无量劫来所做的一些重大罪过，包括一禅体罪。那这个有什么重要呢？这个在自己举罪的过程中，你不会痛恨自己，同时你把这个忏悔清净的这个功德呢，能够让一切众生都能够忏悔清净。如果不断的这样子的发愿的话呢，你就可以原谅一切众生的重大罪过，你不会觉得别人做重大的事情应该怎么样，别人对不起你应该怎么样，你会很自然而然的原谅，因为忏悔就是在原谅自己的过程。那同样的，要用同样的方式去原谅他人。
So not only do we try to disclose all specific past transgression, there's another level to this where you have to generating vows and wish that not only oneself but all sentient beings will also repent for their transgressions and reaching the state of pureness and be free from all the transgressions they have committed in the past kalpas. why is the second part also very critical? The process of repentance is to forgive oneself, that you will not be angry with yourself for making specific mistakes and transgressions. And further on, you try to transfer all the merits of repentance to all sentient beings. In this sense, by doing so, it will also become more and more likely for you to forgive other people when they commit transgressions and do bad things to you. It will be easy to see that, well, I made the same mistake, so I can easily forgive other people. So eventually, this is a process of forgiving oneself and extending this forgiveness to others as well.
在这样的不断的过程当中，才可能慢慢的缩小什么？能跟所自跟他的距离，然后才可能去跟一时境界相应的。
So in this process, as you do it repeatedly over and over again, this is how you actually reduce the gap between subject and object, self and others, and eventually realize true suchness.
好，那在这个举罪哈的过程，忏悔的过程中，还必须要观罪性空。好，那观罪性空，你才不会哈有人哈觉得自己满身罪恶，龌龊到底了哈，就很想残害自己的生命哈。而是你要观罪性空，就是说我这样的一个罪性，其实根本是来自于虚妄颠倒心。好。这个我们的心本来是空寂的，可是呢，因为我们有妄想执着，妄想就是虚妄心，执着就是颠倒心。那你比如说妄想心就是认为假的是真的，那颠倒心呢是什么？认为好的是不好的，不好的是好的。这样的心让我们起种种的一个这个烦恼，然后呢造种种的罪业，然后得到种种的果报。所以罪要忏悔，一直溯源回去，其实罪要忏悔的是我们的虚妄颠倒心。然后但是这个虚妄颠倒心本性跟真心是怎样的性质是一样的，都是空性的。如果它不跟空相应的话，没有一个人可以成佛，是不是这样子？
And then we have to contemplate that the nature of transgressions or past karma are intrinsically empty. And the reason why we have to do this kind of contemplation of the empty nature of transgression is because in this process of repenting, sometimes certain people become so overly ridden with guilt, thinking that I am just such a lousy person, no good, I've committed all these things, and this may eventually lead to that person hurting him or herself. And that's not the way to go about it. We have to contemplate that transgressions, the nature of karma is actually empty. And the mind itself, the nature of the mind is actually it's always empty and tranquil, but it's only because of delusions and confusions that's creating all these vexations, which in turn then lead to the negative deeds that we commit. And so we have to contemplate by going back to the very, very source. The most fundamental way of contemplating repentance is to repent for having deluded and false thinking. That is the most fundamental repentance. And to see that the nature of the true mind and the nature of transgressions are one and the same. And it's only because we have deluded thinking that we are creating all these transgressions.
所以同样的，在这边，观罪性空的同时，你还是希望一切众生能够速达本心本，好，心的本源，然后能够永灭罪根。这个罪根就是什么？虚妄颠倒心。
So similar to the previous step, in addition to repent at this very deep and fundamental level, we also wish that oneself and all sentient beings will soon realize the original nature of the mind, and then everyone will forever eliminate the roots of all transgressions.
好，那这个过程，这个哈，因为时间的关系，我们就这次不讲哈。那所以哈，在讲到这里的时候，其实就要讲到说，我们这部经的经题哈，暂察善恶哈。到目前为止还在讲暂察善恶，那到第三轮向要讲业报，所以暂察善恶业报经呢的上卷讲四项上的暂察善恶业报，下卷要讲这个真理这一时境界的暂察善恶业报。那在这边讲暂察就会有分事，暂察事跟暂察理，那所有事上卷都在讲暂察事，然后也讲这个善恶的事，然后到下卷是暂察理，然后暂察什么善的理，理善跟理恶，那就是用三种轮相来暂察事上卷，然后用告诉我们十善十恶哪一些善恶我们做了跟没有做，那下卷就要告诉我们如何去暂察一时境界，如何去暂察理善跟理恶。
There are a lot of things that we have to actually skip because of the limitation of time. So I'm skipping to the end where in this sutra, this whole process of casting and investigation or divination, a translation that has been used previously, is related to finding out things on the both phenomenal level as well as at the principle level. So the first chapter that we have been discussing so far is to use this method of casting and investigation to look into the phenomenon of the wholesome and the wholesome deeds that have been committed in the past through these three steps of divination, casting. And later on, in the second chapter, we will then focus on what is this one true reality on the principle level, and understand on the principle level of what is considered as wholesome and unwholesome.
好，那所以就是等于是说从罪性本空将心忏，借由忏悔清净，然后一直到下卷的修定修慧，然后达到心若灭时罪亦亡。
So the essence, if we have to summarize, of the sutra is that offenses arise from the mind, therefore we must repent from the mind. And this is what chapter one, the first chapter is about. And then when the mind is extinguished, offenses will also be dismissed. This is the focus of the second chapter and understanding the empty nature of karma.
好，但是哈，我们的忏悔哈还没有完哈，仪轨还没有完哈，是因为虽然我们已经到了第六步忏悔了哈，可是呢，虽然我们还没有成为正觉哈，但是我们必须要发愿，要回向哈。那在七八九这边呢，就告诉我们说，要发劝请愿，劝请什么呢？就是我们还没有成正觉的，希望成正觉。那已成正觉的佛菩萨呢，请你不要入涅槃，哈，继续来指导我们。
And we have, even though we have committed, we have repented, but this cycle, this practice is not over yet. We have to further move on to step 7, 8, and 9, where we make wishes and may all the awakened ones soon awaken. And we hope that those people who have already awakened, they will refrain from entering nirvana.
那第八个很重要，随喜愿，是说我希望能够永舍嫉妒之心，一切功德悉皆随喜。其实我们起嗔恨贪嗔痴，很多时候都是因为我们起了嫉妒心。嫉妒心是什么？你觉得别人好嘛，然后你没有嘛，你就嫉妒，对不对？然后因为嫉妒你会造种种恶。所以就是那克服嫉妒心的一个最好的方法就是随喜， 就是赶快去发现别人做什么好的，你就随喜，心里内心就很欢喜赞叹，哇，他居然能够这么好，他居然说话能够这么的好听，他居然能够呢这么发心的布施，他居然能够这样帮助残障人士，他居然能够这样，你不一定要说去表面赞叹，在那你内心产生欢喜的心，这时候呢你的嫉妒心就会慢慢的减少了。
And the eighth step is very important, that to eradicate all jealousy and envy, and to rejoice in other people's wholesome deeds and virtues. Ultimately, when we have anger, greed, anger, and ignorance, it's related to us giving rise to jealousy. That we see other people doing something good, or they have something that we don't have, then we are jealous and envious.And so, one really good method to counter this jealousy is to give rise to rejoice. Rejoice, and whenever other people do something wholesome, that you praise them and try to be happy for it. So you may discover any virtues or merit that other people have and rejoice in that. Why this person is so good at making offerings, this person has such great voice, and this person is so willing to help other people, and rejoice in all of these. In this way, we can gradually eliminate our own jealousy.
好，第九个是发回向愿哈，这个回向哈是它有很深的意义。其实如果你能够真心的回向，表示你已经转了。好，回向的意思是什么？你本来往那里啊，你转个身变成往这里。好，你如果能够真心做任何的功德，你能够真心回向的时候，表示你的心已经转了，你的业已经转了。好，我是说真心的，不是形式上的。好，那我发现偶益大师的说明，好，我非常的很相应。好，
So the ninth step is also very important, where we transfer all merits to benefit all sentient beings. And if you're able to do this with utmost sincerity and truly make this kind of sharing of your merits, you are actually already reversing your own mindset and reversing past karma. And Great Master Oyi said this, and this actually I resonate with it greatly.
他说哈，回向能灭三有障了哈。他回向有三个面向，然后他能够成就我们修行中的三种智慧跟功德。第一个呢是回志向他， 你在做功德的时候，你以为是自己，其实不是，你能够把它回向说其实是一切众生，那你跟众生的距离就合而为一，就回志向他，那这你就会产生，你会得到一个你就菩提心，然后你会成就什么恩德解脱智，然后你才可能知益一切众生，发菩提愿。
So he said, Master Oyi said this, when you are actually transferring merit based on the character, it actually means a redirecting of the mind. So if you're able to redirect the attention to self, to others, then in this sense, you will be able to resonate with the mind of Mahayana and then attain liberation this way. So you're no longer concerned with yourself, and by transferring merits to other people, you can eliminate the distance between self and others and achieving Bodhi mind.
其实想要解脱，想要利益一切众生，就要感恩什么？感恩一切众生的恩德。好，这个是一个非常非常一个深远的一个知见。好，那不是强迫性的接受，而是你自己亲身体验众生给你的恩德。好，那你才可能去利益一切众生。好。
If you ever want to become liberated and to benefit all sentient beings, it is actually critical for you to be grateful of all the, be very grateful of all sentient beings, of everything that all sentient beings have done for you. And this is actually a very profound and deep understanding that I cannot force upon you, but you have to actually realize it through your own practice. And by only having this understanding clearly, then you will be able to practice liberating sentient beings.
那第二个，我耽误一点时间，回因向果，能够发身心，然后能够成就智德，波若智，然后才可能同去佛智。那回因向果是什么意思？一般我们讲嘛，这个众生为果，菩萨为因啊，为什么这时候又要回因向果啊？这是不一样的哈。我们为果是我们很怕接受果报，可是呢，菩萨很怕在因地上种了不好的事情。可是这里是说，当你的心能够随时把任何一个当下当成你成佛的因的时候，也就是说，所有的任何一个因缘聚合的时候的当下，你把它当成转换的因缘，而且是转换这个因缘朝向哪里呢？佛果。你把所有当下的因缘变成是你成佛的一个机会，叫做回因向果。这个时候你才可能得到，就是你会趋向得到佛的智慧，然后跟佛一样。意思就是这样，任何一个当下不要把它当成一个业报的果来承受，而是把它当成成佛的因。所以这时候呢，任何一个因缘的聚合是我们成佛的因，然后那个果是什么？成佛。
And the second part talks about redirecting causes and focus on consequences. And by doing so, you will attain the profound mind and accomplish wisdom and the virtue of prajna, and then approximating the Buddha's wisdom. And why is it that over here we talk about not focusing on causes and redirecting the attention to the consequences, the result? Isn't there a saying that says sentient beings are afraid of consequences, results, whereas great bodhisattvas are afraid of causes? That particular quote is referring to sentient beings don't want to deal with the transgressions they have committed, so they're afraid of the consequences of it. Whereas bodhisattvas, they are very mindful, and in every moment they don't want to plant the seed for bad consequences, so they're very mindful and being alert about the causes. But over here, this quote seems to be reversed. It's talking about focusing on the consequences. What does that mean? That means we take every moment as a potential cause to achieve Buddhahood. So everything, our energy and our attention is focusing on accomplishing Buddhahood. And every moment that we face, instead of just bearing it, enduring it as a consequence from past deeds, we take every moment and transform that into an opportunity for practice, and which will ultimately lead to Buddhahood.
那回事向理，就像我们现在上卷是在谈事，下卷就要谈理，就要回事向理。刚刚讲嘛，我们在事项上的忏悔一定要深究到什么理上面去，才能够真正忏悔清净。那所以他在练就的是我们的执心，直指我们本心的那一个，所以就是回事向理的那个执心。然后这个时候呢，你的断德，断一切烦恼的德才会显现出来，然后看到法身，然后才会跟佛一样住于就是什么涅槃城。所以他回向就是忏悔的东西能够回事向理，执心去得到，就是去证得一个断德法身。
So like we said, chapter 1 focuses on the phenomenal aspect, whereas chapter 2 will focus on the principle. So similarly, this third part is talking about focusing attention on the principle by using the direct mind to see through the principles that's underneath all phenomenon. And by doing so, you will be able to cut off vexations and reach nirvana.
好，最后了哈，作念绕念哈，就很直接嘛哈，就是你做完所有的忏悔的时候，你就开始端坐一心哈，开始念地藏王菩萨圣号，好，或是你如果是很昏沉的人，你就是起来绕念哈，然后当然这边很重要说你要哈睡少一点呐哈，因为睡眠哦，如果你不能睡眠三昧哈，你睡眠就是增加什么？昏沉愚痴啊哈，所以你就是精进念圣号这样子。
And the final step is really straightforward. In a choir room, sit upright and single-mindedly recite Earth or Bodhisattva's names. And you can recite by either doing out loud or silently. And a very important point here is to reduce the amount of sleep. Because when we sleep, unless you have already obtained sleep samadhi, then otherwise, ordinary people, whenever we sleep, we become confused and we lose clarity. And that is the reason for reducing sleep. And so for those people who are more prone to drowsiness, then you can choose to recite the name while walking around the room.
所以呢，每次这样忏悔一轮之后哈，那第二天早上起来你就再站查一遍哈，看你的那个口业那个业哈有没有减轻，没有减轻呢就再来哈，看要一座两座三座哈，然后最好是一经典上讲，你早上起来的时候再念地藏王菩萨圣号1000遍，你再指看看有没有清净一点哈。这样子，那你看在这边讲，他说哦，如果你是立根者，7日后得清净哈；动根者哈，可能2737到77日后得清净；如果是罪业深重的哈，可能要100天、200天乃至1000天得清净哈。1000天可以得清净也蛮不错的哈，但是要一心哈，自心忏悔。
So the sutra says that every time that you've completed a cycle of repentance, then you wake up the next morning, it will be even better if you can recite the Bodhisattva's name 1,000 times, and then you cast the dice again to see if your transgression has been repented away or has become less. If not, repeat the process over again, over and over. So the text says for those people whose karmic obstructions are light and little and whose minds are sharp and powerful, then purification can be obtained in 7 days. But for those people with more dense and voluminous obstructions and where the root of practice is not so sharp, then purification may be attained after 14 days, 21 days, or 49 days.But for those people whose negative karma is overwhelmingly heavy, then purification can still be obtained after 100 days, 200 days, up to 1,000 days. I say 1,000 days is still pretty good, except that whenever you practice, you have to be utmost sincere and very focused in your practice.
我是不晓得你们啊，我是觉得我自己业障蛮重的，顿根中的顿根，所以至少要1000天。但是哈，又提不起精进心来哈，然后又没有那个因缘，所以就是觉得业障又更重哈，就是没有修行的因缘哈。那但是呢，时时忏悔哈也可以的了哈。但希望有一天我们能够真的自诚来忏悔哈。
So I don't know about you, but I feel that my own karma is very dense and heavy.And so I would love to be able to do a 1,000 day, but the circumstances, and it's also hard to actually give rise to this, this vigorous mind. So you do it by and by and practice according to your conditions.
好，那下一次呢，就是下礼拜天呢，我要讲，我现在有点赶进度哈，就是要讲第三轮相了哈。那第三轮相就是我们之前讲第一轮、第二轮是暂察善恶嘛，哈，接下来要讲业报了，哈，在暂察善恶业是前面两个轮相，第三个轮相就要讲暂察善恶的业报，哈，就是说我们做了这些事情之后呢，因为六根跟六尘六识这样子。就是相应之后造成的身口意13、12业呢，那当我们呢会有违想顺想跟非违非顺想的时候呢，它会 它会呢就是累积最后产生189种业报哈。那我们就是下个礼拜会来讲这个。
Now I have to quicken my progress. So I'm speeding through this, but next week we will then talk about the third round of casting. Round one and round two of casting is talking about finding out the transgressions that have been committed and the severity of the transgression. And the third round of casting then in turn will talk about as an aggregate of the six sensory organs, six sensory objects, and the six consciousness together created the 10 wholesome and unwholesome deeds. And when facing conditions of things that go according to your wishes and the things goes against your wishes, in these kind of conditions, 189 types of consequences arises as a result of the deeds that have been committed. So we will go into these 189 consequences for the third round of casting.
对，我们不会哈，一个讲哈。基本上它分三大类，189种，就是过去的业报、现在的业报跟未来的业报。好，那希望下礼拜大家有空还是可以继续一起来，好，我们一起来分享。
So we're not going to go down the list one by one, all 189. They're basically divided into three categories, of the past, present, and future. And so that will be the focus of talk next Sunday.